everybody. Welcome to another episode of Alicia Shanice Reviews. I am your host. It's your girl, Shanice, coming back at you with another podcast. We are on episode 309, and today's topic is BMF, episode 307, titled Get Them Home. The description reads, Meech travels to St. Louis to link up with Jay Pusha and his brother Carter to set up business there. And he finds a new love interest with Kia. Yet, he also learns the hustle in Detroit and Atlanta is omnipresent. So y'all already know how we do. We about to get into it. We about to break it down. We about to dissect it scene by scene like we do over here on this platform. Then I will play the trailer for next week's episode of episode 8. And I have a sleeper for you guys in my Joe Budden style. Shout out to the pod father, Joey. As always, if you need to get in touch with me, you can contact me Facebook, Instagram, or email. All of the links are in the description box below. Alicia Shanice Facebook, Alicia Shanice Reviews, IG, Alicia Shanice Reviews 13 at gmail.com for email. You can inbox, DM, or email me if you have any recap requests, with that being a TV show, movie, docuseries, or if you have any businesses, brands, or anything that you're working on that I can help promote, shout out, or support in any way I can. All of that is free of charge. Why? Because I love whom loves me, and I love to support who supports me. This Sunday, chapter 11 of the Tale of the Park Hill Crew reading will drop. Please tap into that, and you can support by also purchasing a book. It is on Amazon. The link is below. It is available in ebook and paperback form. Paperback form shipped directly to you within a few days. Ebook downloaded instantly. And music is by Savage Life. So make sure you tap into Tale of the Park Hill Crew each Sunday, written and read by your very own host, Alicia Shanice. If you listen to the podcast on Spotify, hit the follow button, please, 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 please. And you might as well follow my music playlist. Just type in Shanice Loves. One will populate. Click on that. It takes you to the rest of them. Guess what? I got every genre because your girl got some long range music ears. So on that note, I've ran my mouth long enough. You guys know how to get in touch with me. You guys know I support back. And don't forget about the book. Please purchase, share, share, share. Tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend. And tap in each Sunday. But enough of all that. Let's get into the show and let's talk BMF. Get them home. One mic. All I need is one mic. That's all I need. All I need is one mic. All I need, niggas. All I need is one mic. Hey y'all, it's your girl Shanice, and I'm just coming in to check in with y'all to remind y'all to protect y'all energy, as I always say. Life is at, you know, we have very different stresses at an all-time high. Why not go ahead and take you guys a nice vacation at a reasonable price with a trusted travel agent, you know? And that could be a solo trip, a trip with your boo thang, a family trip, a girl's trip, a guy's trip, whatever. Just let me let y'all know this right now. Visit T-Booked It. T-B-B-O-O-K-E-D-I-T. Follow them on Instagram, or you can send them an email at tbbookedit@gmail.com. The world is a beautiful place. Let them go ahead and help you discover it. Go ahead and release those stress vibes and go ahead and enjoy your vacation. At TB Booked It, they got all the reasonable deals. And just let them know your girl Shanice, she sent you there.
Name is Shanice, and she's the one. Her name is Shanice, and she's the one.
If he's sure. This big meat's from the richest black motherfucking gang in the world. My nigga Blue always say, it's only two things a nigga can do for you. He only got time or money. You can't have them both. The nigga with money don't have no time. The nigga with time don't have no money. You only got two choices. So when you look over here or anywhere else, remember, you got two choices. You either want time or money. And we don't got a lot of time around here, because time is money. You feel me?
All right. The episode opens up. The story you're about to see is loosely based on truth. Some of the names, characters, businesses, and events have been fictionalized for dramatic purposes. But a lot of this shit may have actually happened. And the way how this season is going, let's just hope that a lot is for dramatic purposes. We get an opening saying, St. Louis embraced me and showed me so much love. St. Louis has some real natural-born hustlers that moved the bag and got the money. Demetrius Big Meech Flannery. And then we see a picture of Meech with the old school Adidas shirts on. So, I'm going to be honest, this episode was not one of my favorites. It was doing good, the last two, but this one was not one of my favorites. I know it was, this one episode was written by Kelly who? No, not this one. I know I was reading Papa Charles. He's the one that directed this episode, but it wasn't the same writer. I wrote his name down. I can't find it right now. It wasn't the same writer. But episode 5, that was the best one out of this season. Episode 6 was all right, too. But episode 7, I really wasn't just too ecstatic about it. I'm kind of over all of the celebrity guests. It kind of waters it down for me. BMF itself is a solid story. Like, it's official. Nobody ever really had, especially, you know, with the black hustlers from the 80s, nobody really had that long range and did it like BMF, especially on how they split it down the middle with Terry running his side and Meech running his side and what Meech was doing in Atlanta. But, you know, like I stated before, season 1 was impeccable. Season 2 was dope, besides them overdoing Lamar. Season 3, episode 5 was fire. Episode 6 was cool. This one was a little mediocre. It had some good points, but not one of my faves. But y'all know how I am. We're going to support, you know, 50 Cent no matter what, because we are honorary Green Light gang members over here on this platform.
And, you know, we're going to support the Power Universe movement, the whole BMF movement, but we also going to be honest, and this was not one of my favorites. So it opens up with a back-in-the-day scene when it was all good with Brian and the Flannery brothers, and he was their baseball coach when they were younger and teaching them the rules of the game that they could also take it into the street dope game. So then it cuts to the present day of the show's timeline with Meech in St. Louis, and he on the field with Jay Pusha and his younger brother Carter, and Meech new flame of the week, Kia, portrayed by Sweetie. So, you know, the way that they're talking, you can tell that they've been messing around. He's been down there. So what the show has did, like a time jump where he's been down there for a few weeks. You know why he laying low? Because it got hot down there in the A. And we see Carter is talented. He is league talented, like pro league talented. So he's not in the game. But as always, it's the ones that's not in the game that the consequences hit the most. So he goes to the car to get some water and gets abducted. Now back in Detroit, Terry's crew wants payback. And I do too. However, Terry wants to handle this the right way. And at this point, Terry is tired of their dead bodies everywhere. He's tired of attending all his friends' funeral. So he tells them that, you know, instead of just, you know, going payback mode, he wants to go over Goro's head to put a halt on all this shit. So they pissed off, of course, but he's the boss. And at the end of the day, war is bad for business and very costly. So back in St. Louis, Jay Pusha is on 10, rightfully so. Rightfully so, his brother then got abducted. So he, you know, he's angry. He's on 10. But at the same time, stupid as fuck. Because when it comes to negotiating, this dude, he's terrible. Instead of just telling the kidnappers what they want to hear and negotiating and getting your brother back, then putting the murder game down, he decides to go off fucking, you know, just on 10. And he gets the, you know, throwing side threats, talking about he ain't paying shit. And it's all because he did a grimy deal in the first place and sold these dudes some bad products. So now they in a bad situation for who they owe money to. So Meech decides to try to get through to this dumb nigga, but he thinks he's the St. Louis Incredible Hawk and wants, you know, payback. He ain't backing down and he ain't finna let nobody think he no punk. So we go back to Detroit. And Dr. Maurice sends flowers to the Flannery home. And of course, Papa Charles reads the card. It's his house. Of course, there's an argument and it escalates. It turns into bad finances. And, you know, you did this or you did this or you spend all your money on clothes. You spend all your money on, you know, band instruments. And then it finally turns into Lucille declaring that she is a grown and she's also a free woman and she is going to choose to be happy. So, okay, Miss Lucille, remember you said that the grass ain't always greener on the other side. Sometimes the water bill is just high. Now we get into the next scene and Blaze arrives at Terry's restaurant with the baby gift and tells him, you know, he respects him, but he doesn't respect, you know, his daughter's choices. But at the same time, he's not going to sideline her or turn away from, you know, his Goro. So Terry tells him, okay, well, since, you know, you ain't willing to step in and handle her, then I look at you like you a part of the problem too. So deal or no deal. So in the next scene, we get this dramatic, non-acting scene at Jay Pusha's mom's house where Carter's finger is delivered in the box. Reminded me of Paid in Full. And I just, when I was watching this scene, I kind of was like, really? What the hell, black old school mama just going to be that calm when your son is kidnapped and you get a finger in the mail? She like, this is something you did. Now you go find him and kill him. I mean, she was just so calm. It was just so, like, just so dramatic and just so non-acting. I'm just like, come on, BMF. Come on. I need some tears. I need some screaming. I need some crying. I need her so hysterical because this just was so unrealistic. You get your son's finger, your son who is not in the dope game, your son who was on his way to the pro league. You get his finger in the mail. He's abducted and you just want to say, this is something you did. And it just, okay. So the kidnappers call Jay Pusha again. And does this dummy attempt to negotiate? Hell no. He throws more threats and puts a price tag on the streets to get his brother back. So Meech attempts to help and calls Terry. And of course, they have one of their many disagreements, but Terry agrees to send help his way. Now it cuts to the next scene and Detective Veronica Jen, she is having a very hard time dealing with everything that's going on, from being suspended, from losing her partner, from just everything going on with this whole situation. And she confides in her father. They have a very, you know, heart to heart moment about the situation. And she tells him that she's going to have to do something that she normally wouldn't do to, you know, fix the situation. So they did have a very good heart to heart. I'm hoping that nothing happens to Detective Jen by they showed us that emotional part. And I'm not going to lie. Sometimes I enjoy seeing the ones who are not the star leads of the show. They bring the more, you know, that more thespian actors out of this and, you know, pull us in a little bit. Like Jen, she's a good actress. I love seeing, I know nobody likes his character, but Detective Brian, he does an amazing job. One thing that does save this show is the Flannery parents, Papa Charles and Mama Charles. Of course, they are, you know, actors and they really can bring the emotions and the comic relief with all of the marital problems. That's what saves this show to me. You know, because with all of this little celebrities that they throw in here and there and there, we got the Sweeties, the Young Miamis, the 2 Chainz, it overshadows and waters it down for something that is really hysterically a good story. Like, if you watch the BMF docuseries, if you watch any of the old documentaries or old footage of Meech in Atlanta doing his thing, it's a good, solid story. And when we get to adding in all of these extra people and, you know, putting stuff where it doesn't go, it just kind of waters it down. But when you get little scenes like this, which really shouldn't mean anything, that's what kind of brings us back in. Like, I enjoy seeing Papa Charles and Mama Charles getting into it. I enjoy seeing Detective Brian with Jen. That's sometimes what brings me back in. So we go into the next scene, and Lucille goes over to LaWanda's house to visit the baby, and Terry shows up shortly after. Now, you know, LaWanda being LaWanda, of course, she's, you know, just had the baby, she hurt, she gonna, you know, throw her jabs at Terry. Lucille sticks her nose in the situation and he tells her to mind her business, when in actuality she's the reason for the original breakup. Him and LaWanda was doing just fine, and she caught her in the bathroom and basically told her she was enabling him being a drug dealer. And, you know, they played this little game to have LaWanda go out of town. And of course, you play so many games, the man is going to find somebody to play with. And that's when Terry messing with Markeisha, when LaWanda did with Terry Jr. and went out of town. So all this shit started from Mama Lucille anyway. But when she gets to talking, you know, Terry brings up her adulterous ways and she tells him to mind his business. So he telling her to mind, you know, her business, she telling him to mind his business, and I'm just gonna mind my own goddamn business and go to the next scene. So we go down to St. Louis where the kidnappers are having a panic attack and attempting to cut off another finger until some niggas run in the crib. They get to shooting, but the dude Franklin gets killed and they take Carter to another location. Now we get into the next scene, and this is back in Detroit, and it goes to Nicole's high school. She's walking in and the metal detector goes off and little Nikki got a little blade in her car, I mean in her book bag. She got a little knife in there. Now Nicole is young, she has witnessed some things in her life, so she feels like she has to protect herself. And Breeze attempts to, you know, have her back, acting like it belongs to him. But, you know, she gets in trouble. So we go into the next scene, where we get a random scene where we really don't know what's going on. We see a truck rolling through and it loses control and crashes. We see the tag that says U.S. Army veteran, and one of the pass buyers, they say, I think that truck is full of dope. So when it crashed, we really didn't know who that was. But then it cuts to Terry. He goes to see Markeisha. And of course, Markeisha is being Markeisha, playing mad side chick mind games with Terry, acting like she's so understanding and she just wants to be the bigger woman. She wants to be mature. She wants everybody to get along. She'll help him pick out baby gifts. You know, she just putting it all on Terry, and his dumb ass is falling for everything she is saying. So he ends up getting a call. And we see the help he sent Meech was actually the dude in the truck that crashed. So the tickets is gone. So he got to send somebody else that way. So it cuts back to Papa Charles and Mama Lucille. They show up at Nikki's school. And of course, they're mad about the whole knife situation. And you know, Nicole is just like, every time I try to come to talk to y'all, y'all want to push everything in the rug. Y'all don't want to talk about it. But have y'all ever seen anybody get killed? And when you really think about it, Nicole is young and she has seen some traumatic things from how she was being raised. You know, Meech and Terry, they were in the streets, but they had Nicole going to church. You know, she was a good little girl. And to see her boyfriend Darius murdered like that, and just all of the ongoing trauma that she's experienced, is no wonder she's acting out like that, even with the whole Darius situation alone. So they still kind of sweep it under the rug, like, we'll talk about it when we get home. You know, you want all that to get out in school. But at this point, Nicole is going to start doing Nicole in a minute. So we get into the next scene, and Detective Jen shows up at the bar where Brian is and tells him it's just time to team up. He fired, she suspended. They both on Goro head. So they agree to team up and work together. We get a little bit more information on how connected Blaze is. He was the lieutenant of narcotics, and it looks like he got the police chief under his table as well. And, you know, he's connected with politics. So that's why him and Goro is so protected. And she thinks she's the fucking Incredible Hulk with the fucking plastic knife. So we get into the next scene, and we can tell that Brian and Jen, they care for each other. That's why I'm hoping that we don't lose her, because I really like Detective Jen, but Brian is already pissed about losing Kevin. If he lose Jen too, that is why he is going to be so indebted on bringing BMF down. So we get into the next scene, and Meech tells Jay Pusha about it being a hold for a minute on the product, because, you know, they had that run in with the truck, but it's some more help on the way. And they get another call about Carter. So Terry has a meeting with some of Goro's local dealers and offers them a better deal. And, you know, after some sweet game and talking to them about the prices being good and solid, and, you know, they ain't got to worry about looking over their head, they agree to move forward with BMF and, you know, cut ties with Goro. So we know that knife will be coming out soon. Now it goes back to St. Louis, and Meech puts his plan in motion to help Carter without Jay pushing on anything, because his hothead ass will just go fuck it up. So goes back to Detroit, because in this episode it kept going St. Louis, Detroit, St. Louis, Detroit, St. Louis, Detroit. So we go back to Detroit. And y'all know this scene irritated me. Markeisha takes her messy ass over to LaWanda's house and acts like she just wants to be the peacemaker and for them to be, you know, sister wives and share Terry and just get along. And LaWanda is like, bitch, fuck you. And get the fuck out. And you think you're coming over here flossing? Let me show you our twin furs. So LaWanda has had it at this point. I think pretty soon LaWanda will wake up and just say, you know what, Terry, at this point, we just will co-parent. You have your cougar. I'm going to get to doing me and dye my hair back blonde. Because remember in season one, he made her dye her hair black. Bitch, go back blonde and get out there and do you. So we go into the next scene after her friendly ass mama was doing too much. Mama, what is you doing? And Markeisha, get the fuck out. Now we go to the next scene. Back to St. Louis. Sterling shows up to help Meech. Sterling is one down dude. Sterling, he didn't show that he's loyal since they brought him over. Now, Sterling shows up to help Meech with the rest of the product since the other stuff got messed up in the truck. And at this time, the cops is rolling down in the St. Louis projects. I like the way they did this scene. I did like this. How, you know, they showed how smooth Meech was. You know, he put that little baseball hat on, pulled up at the police officer himself, acting like he was somebody who just got traded to the Cardinals. So he played that real smooth, put on his little nice voice, and all the police officer could do was give him directions and say, go Cardinals. So that was smooth right there. I liked it how they did that. We get into the next scene back in Detroit where we see Markeisha the bitch. She ends up getting pulled over. I'm guessing this was one of her old flames that she used to cheat on Boom with, because clearly she cheats on all her men. And he acts like he's just going to give her a ticket, but it's actually his seven digits with his name Vince on there. So she gets to smiling and more games populate in her head to play with Terry. So we go into the next scene. And Breeze sneaks his little sneaky ass over to Nicole's house. You know, they on puppy love and shit. And Nicole, She's starting to feel herself. She's a teenager. She's liking Bree. She's liking him. He's very different from Darius, of course, but he seems like a little good kid. And it's cute. But Nicole, you're not ready yet, baby. No matter how cute he is and the little smooth talker protector he is, you ain't ready yet. Even though you took your little pills, you ain't ready yet. So we go into the next scene. Child, I don't know what the hell Mama Lucille doing. Mama Lucille says she got her groove back. She in the car acting like she a schoolgirl at the little drive-in movie theater. They getting their little kissy-kissy kiss on. They making out. He ready to go all the way. She wants to have foreplay and have fun because he smells so good and he looks so good. And I'm just like, you know what, Mama Lucille? If Charles do anything, you better leave that bat in the closet, okay? So we're going to the next scene. But have fun, Mama Lucille. Have fun. We're going to the next scene. And Markeisha plays more mind games with Terry. Inviting Vince at the little dinner restaurant when she knew she was already meeting Captain Terry, the Kirk, Captain Kirk Terry. And making him all jealous and telling him, you know, when he get jealous, it make her wet. Just doing, you know what, next scene. She annoys the hell out of me. Next scene, we see, oh Lord. Next scene, we get another Goro scene. Now, that was one good thing about this episode. It went 40 full minutes without showing us Goro. But at least they didn't show us too much. So, Lenny the Snitch takes Jen undercover as a, you know, potential seductress with the blonde wig for Goro. And, you know, she kind of smooth talks Goro to work her way in. And it cuts to the next scene with Meech saving the day and getting Carter back. And we see, of course, it's an eye for an eye. So, you know, a finger for a finger. They cut Carter's finger, so they had to chop and dot dude's finger off. And then Kia, she got to playing baseball with him. So she got the bat in his ass up. So we go into the next scene. And Jen meets up with Brian and fills him in on, you know, the whole meet up with Goro and how that's going to work. We can tell these two care for each other. I'm just hoping we don't lose Detective Jen. We go into the next scene. And we get another dramatic non-acting scene when Carter goes home with the finger cut off, and oh, let's get him a Band-Aid. Really? A Band-Aid? And then we get a whole Meech a hero and a whole generic you can still go pro, I believe I can fly speech. You know what? Next scene. Next scene, Kia and Meech, they get it on before he goes back to the A. I don't know if this will be a long-term fling. I'm ready for them to show when he met his longtime girlfriend, who is, you know, little Meech's mother. That's who he was with for years. He met her, I want to say, in Atlanta. That's what it said in the docuseries. So hopefully in season 4, we'll see their relationship rekindling, because that's who he was with for a long time. I'm sure, of course, we know he did his thing, but that's who was his long-lasting relationship. So we get into the next scene where, of course, they got it on, and then we got the call from the A, from Duffy, telling him about, you know, everything, how it's working in motion there with the whole product situation and everything going on. And then it cuts to the strip club, so we knew he was back in Atlanta, and we see Meech arrives back in the A, and his crew is happy to see him. So all we can say is watch out, Glock. And that was my recap and review for episode 7. I'm going to say this was definitely a filler episode. It wasn't really strong to me. It showed the whole meetup in St. Louis. We got to getting the plan in motion where Terry is recruiting Goro's, you know, her crew and bringing them over there to be a meth. So I'm pretty sure next episode we'll see, you know, a lot more, because of course Goro will be pissed off when she finds out everybody, you know, decided to leave her side and go over to BMF, and then Meech will be back in Atlanta, so we'll get more of that whole thing with him and the MKs, and of course more drama for Papa Lucille and Mama Papa Charles and Mama Lucille. We'll see more drama from them, and you know that's always saving the show right there. So this episode, like I said, it wasn't the best to me. It has some good parts, but just not a strong episode. I am a little overseeing all of the celebrities in there. I kind of just wanted to go back to just being about the story. And, you know, I don't have a problem with them switching from scene to scene. Like, 1 minute it's in Detroit, 1 minute Atlanta. I actually like that, because I didn't want it to just be all about Atlanta. I still want to see some of that Detroit. So that is something I like. I don't think that they're doing too much there. I like it. I just, some of the theatrics is just a little bit too much. But you know, we still gonna support it regardless. We got hope for season 4. They'll probably bring it back, you know, because like I said, season 1 was fire. But please don't go anywhere. I'm about to play the trailer for next week's episode, and then I have a sleeper for you guys in my jailbedding style.
We don't want to take the work in, homies. I guarantee we next.
Well, Marquise, you're very high class. You don't have what it takes to keep up with a woman like us.
I know where you're at. Hey, you know where I'll be.
Taking Henry and BMF down will at least give us some peace.
All right, so that was the promo for episode 8. It will be called Code Red. It looks like it's probably going to be fire. It looks like a lot of drama heating up with Atlanta, with the Red Dogs coming after all of the drug dealers. And we see Big Meech knocking somebody the hell out. So look like Atlanta going to be hot. It looked like we're going to be seeing Markeisha play more games with Captain Kirk Terry, making him jealous with the cop. And Detective Bryant and Jen going after Goro. I'm just hoping that we don't lose Goro, because I like Detective Jen, but I got a feeling, that's my theory, we might lose her, and that's going to set Bryant off to where that's why he is going to be after the whole drug organization for 20 years straight with vengeance and don't have nothing to lose. It looks like that's what's going to be going on in Detroit. Markeisha playing mind games and the hunt for Goro from Brian and Jen, and then Meech doing his thing in Atlanta with the Red Dogs after all of the hustlers, and Meech getting into it with somebody who I'm guessing probably will be Glock. It looks like episode 8 might be fire. We'll have to see. Here is my sleeper for you guys. I'm going to play something from the 90s. Let's go down to the south.
I got a pocket full of stones. I got a pocket full of stones. I got a pocket full of stones.
and moving keys. I was daddy moving dimes. Started coming up, teams recognized my face. I was paying off the law so I wouldn't catch a case. You want a free face? I got them rubbers for your ass. A boulder on your pipe and you can have a mega blast. Cash with the stack. Then it went to pile. Thanks to your dope fiend hitting crack vibe.
Back in the day, we used to run up saying, Pussy, what you know? I tell him, get this crack and get the fuck away from me, ho. Cause if it was out with, it became a instant cuss. Cause they knew I was just 20s and they beat that monkey nut. I'm gonna be a bee. You can change the ass, I guess. So the motherfuckers wait until they take the bill of pain in their chest. Now they won't leave me alone. Cause they know I got a whole pocket full of stone. Got a 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 pocket full of stone. And they won't leave my ass alone.
I bought a Cadillac, dropped it to the street top. Got me a family and started pushing crack, rock, rock, crack. Show paid good in the city set. Had a fucking rope of every letter in the alphabet. And an air printer, call an NT. And a whole lot of me that used to suck my dick for free.
And what you did say?
I brought my first key from a baby mama brother. Cooked the shit myself and started passing out them others. Everybody in my family was cocking new. So my Cadillac, I got a brand new Lexus sports coupe. Got a house on the hill, got a boat on the lake. Got a detail shop to cover up and gotta make it to the point where I don't see dope no more. Still smoke weed, still drink beer, cash bro. Not the laws won't leave me alone. Cause they know all my niggas got their pockets full of stone.
Got a pocket full of stone. Got a pocket full of stone. Got a pocket full of stone. Got a pocket full of stone. Got a pocket full of stone. Got a pocket full of stone. Got a pocket full of stone. And they will do my ass alone.
Like aloe vera lotion, selling crack rock, the devil's love potion, free wheel motion on my Buick Park Ave. The smoke tweeted, not as smoking slab. Paid like a motherfucker, clientele is growing. Kick it so bad, I got pregnant jeans hoeing. Sucker licking, licking ass just to get a pump. Fuck black season, niggas call me black trunk. The real pump in my lap at all times. Niggas fuck with other niggas shit, but they don't fuck with mine. Got my money total for a big time pass. 17.5, I got a bird on their head. Put my boys down so they wouldn't have to rob. Now my click is coming off like the fucking mob. My workers got bread, everybody's making bread. Get the cap up with the stones in the pockets of the feed.
I got a pocket full of stones.
I got a pocket full of stones. I heard y'all. That's that UGK. Pockets full of stones. It's the weekend, so if you guys get out, please be safe, but have fun and enjoy. Please protect your energy and stay away from anybody who is an enemy to your energy. Protect your peace, and the sky is the limit. Don't let anybody tell you what you can't do, because you can do anything you put your mind to. I don't care what obstacles you have against you, or if it just feels like you're against all odds, I promise you, if you put your mind to something and you claim it and you go after it with vengeance and with resilience, you'll get it done. Just believe in yourself. Believe in yourself and dream it. Dream it so clearly where you can see it and you just take it day by day. And just, you know, protect your energy. I'm sending high vibrations and love. And I thank you for your support. I hope you guys enjoyed this podcast. I'll be back on Sunday with a chapter 11 reading. It's called Blood Ties. I can't wait to share this chapter with you guys. I hope you guys are tuning in for the book each Sunday. This is another long chapter, so it might have to be broken up into two. But we'll see. It'll be out no later than 6 p.m. on Sunday. So, like I said, just enjoy your weekend. I'm sending high vibrations and love and just peace and joy your way. And thank you for your support as always. I wouldn't be here without you guys. I love you guys. Just thank you so much for your support. And remember, you can always hit me up for recap requests or anything that you're working on that I can help support you in any way I can. Or if you just want to say what's up, that's cool too. And you can always leave a comment on Spotify. So it's your girl Shanice, and I'm out.
Hope you enjoyed the show with your girl Shanice.